Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Thank you very much, and welcome back to the Drive Time. My guest in the studio this afternoon with us is Councillor Terry Hickey from the municipality of Port Hope, and of course, Rob Washburn is joining us for our weekly installment of Consider This. Today, we're talking about transit. Transit into transition was the headline in the Northumberland News. This was about a week ago, I guess. Yeah, literally a week ago. And big story there, they're talking about changes. He's been looking at the problem now since 2014, around December of. We did have him in the studio a while back to talk about that. So we're going to follow up with him on all issues transit-related. And before we do that, though, here are the Hollies and Bus Stop on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. Welcome to the Drive Time. My guest in studio, Terry Hickey. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Very glad to have you back. And Rob Washburn, of course, for our regular weekly installment. I almost said regular. It's a regular one. Anyway, transit in Port Hope. We're going to talk about all things transit. First of all, My understanding is that this is really the first time any Port Hope Council has actually done any kind of comprehensive look, other than, you know, well, we got to do this or do that, let's cut the hours. But really, this is unprecedented. There's never really been this type of comprehensive look at transit in the municipality of Port Hope. Am I correct on that, Terry?
Yeah, well, I think so. I mean, as I mentioned to you earlier, I mean, I've been at council for the 4 years before I was elected as part of the Ratepayers Association. And from time to time, you'd see something come before council with respect to the busing. And it was usually, how can we make it less expensive? How can we make it, you know, a little bit cheaper? So you saw hours curtailed and maybe bus prices going up a little bit. But certainly I didn't get any indication that there'd been a really in-depth analysis of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. What are you seeing now? Because I guess you're looking at us from all angles, right? From the user's perspective to the cost, all of these things. What was the one thing that you saw first when you started to look at this?
You know, with us, I don't think it's any secret that when you start to look at something, first you're looking at money. Mm-hmm. And that's your starting ground, but that's not necessarily your finishing place. Because what we did is, as we got into it, we took a look at all the various components. We had to take a look at who's riding the bus. Why are they riding the bus? What kind of a system do we have? I mean, it's not a transit system like you'd find in a major city where you're moving thousands and thousands of people. It's an efficiency thing. It's, you know, green energy thing or whatever it happens to be. It's not that at all. This is, as defined by one of my fellow counselors, as a social transit system. Mm-hmm. And ostensibly, it means just that. It's not moving people in the same way or even in the same capacity. You know, we're not moving a lot of people. But we're moving them at a great expense.
Why do you think that, though? Why is it fewer people using the transit system? Is it that it's not as user-friendly as it could be? I mean, what were some of the reasons people gave you for why they don't use the transit system?
I think mostly in Port Hope, it's a situation where most people have their own transit. They've got ACAR or two, mm-hmm. and they get around to wherever they have to go by using their vehicles. The people that use the transit system, by and large, are people that don't have access to vehicles, people who are disenfranchised and, you know, they need to get places, or seniors that want to get about and don't either wish to drive or can't drive, and some students, you know, that live within the walking area of going to a school but choose not to do that.
So before we get too far down the road, let's just take a step back, because as Dave identified, you were here before, and it was mm-hmm. early on in the process. Can you bring us up to date as to what you've been doing and the various steps you've been taking to dig down into the issue of transit?
Sure. we took a look at transit just shortly after we got into office in December of 2014. And took a look at it only from the viewpoint of it's one of those things that we need to take a look at. We didn't get around to it in any great hurry. It didn't get onto the top of the hit parade for a little bit. But once we got down to it, we started to have to break it down. And so what are the component pieces that we have to look at? And so we did a number of things. We first brought a report came to council, which kind of started the ball rolling on this. And this was, you know, we can do A, B, C, or D. And D was get rid of the system.
And that was a staff report, right?
Yes.
Okay.
and so we put the get rid of the system in. It has to be an option, whether you're going to choose that option or not. I mean, if you want to be transparent to people, you give all the options. You don't give some of them. And so we did have a council meeting, and, of course, the word got out through social media that was one of the things in there, that we were going to get rid of the transit system. Mm-hmm. And so we had quite a number of people show up to the council meeting that night and register their potential dismay that might happen. And there was, in fact, a list signed by some 100 names of people that were, you know, save our transit system. Well, that was never really in the cards, but that's the joy of social media. Social media is not necessarily always exactly in sync with fact.
Do we know how many of those 100 people that signed that petition were actual transit users? Were they all transit
users? Well, supposedly
users?
All of them were transit users. But those are the things we had to find out. And the thing was, okay, what is a transit system about? If we start from a position of money, that's a very important aspect. However, if we don't understand what the system's about, there's no way we can address any of the issues. Because what are the issues? And again, we go back to who rides the bus and why they're riding the bus and to where are they riding the bus. And so we needed to get that information. So we started to kind of just quietly ask questions around, you know, see what we could do. We got as many statistics as we could find. A few months ago, we actually did a survey on the bus where we had the riders fill out forms in terms of certain demographics, and we were able to kind of pinpoint, you know, where we're picking up people, where they're going to, how many people are riding. We also have numbers from BTS, who is the supplier, with respect to how many people are riding the bus each day. And that's broken down to adults, seniors, children, and students. So we've been able to get a pretty good idea. I've taken all that information and put them into spreadsheets at home to analyze that.
So what's the profile that you're coming up with? What are some of the conclusions you're seeing with the early analysis?
Well, during the school months, about 32% of the ridership is student-based. And, you know, you don't have a lot of children riding it. The rest is composed of seniors and adults. We have two routes, one which is predominantly west of the river, one east of the river, and the one east of the river comes over to Coburg. So what we also wanted to do, and as you saw in one of the papers a little while back, is Councilor Polutnik and I got onto the buses for a day, and we wanted to ride around. We wanted to be able to see how things went, where people were, what was going on, talk to riders, get their feedback, but also talk to the bus drivers. I mean, these people have a wealth of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's been tapped into by any mm-hmm. previous council.
So what was it like? Tell us what it was like to get on the get on your own transit system and ride around.
It was pretty interesting, actually, because even though it was up at 7 o'clock in the morning, it was a little bit like a party time, because I think some of the riders going on was like, wow, who's this? Why is he asking me a question? And then, you know, once the kind of tension left, and it was like, he's not here to kill me or something, you know, it's okay. Yeah. Then it went fine. And we really got a lot of good feedback. And people were, it was a lot of fun to ride with the people. So we really got a lot of information about, you know, why they're using the transit system. And there were a lot of consistencies there.
Were people happy to see you doing this, though? I mean, because as you pointed out, you know, the social media is saying that Port Hope wants to kill transit and all of this. How happy were the people that met you once they got over the initial shock, I guess, realized that you were actually using the service to try and figure out what were the concerns and what were the things we could do to make it better?
Well, there were two elements. One was the shock of the surprise. Oh, my God, somebody's actually here looking into it. And that alone, I think, was a little bit of a kind of a victory. Like, oh, somebody's really thinking about this. Same thing happened with the drivers. You know, the drivers were like, wow, this is someone I can talk to, someone that can really look at it as what we're going through. And there were a huge number of bits of information that came out that we could tag on to. So, but they were very good at being very open with us. I mean, there were no huge negatives. I mean, any of the negatives were actually relatively small in the total look of things. But I think people were genuinely pleased that someone was out there looking at it. Because you can look at all the statistics you want. Mm-hmm. You can do all the Google researching you want. But until you get on the bus and you feel the bumps that you're going through, physically mm-hmm. feel the bumps, you either get overheated or whatever, or overcooled, depending on the situation. You don't know what these people are going through.
Well, so like, how does one trip, though? Have you been on the bus since then? How many trips have you taken?
We spent most of the day on that day going around from one bus to the other bus. And I'm going to be back on the buses next week when the school kids get in to check it again.
How many times do you hope to go through it till you feel you've got a good handle on it?
I think once we get on the bus with the school kids and get a sense of the whole back to school mm-hmm. situation, I think that's good. Then we have you were asking me earlier about numbers of steps that we would take.
Yeah.
So we have more steps to take. Now we had previously we had a working group that we got established. And we had David Sheffield from Greenwood Coalition. We had Jeanette Davison from staff. Mm-hmm. We had some bus users on there. Mm-hmm. We had some people from the Port Hope Ratepayers Association. We had Warren Nicolishan, who's the manager of transportation, who is now in charge of transit systems. So we had a kind of a sit down to think through all of the component pieces of this in terms mm-hmm. of the things we want to do. And then, so going from there, then we did the survey. We did the ride-along. There will be another ride-along that I'm going to do. Then what we have to do is a number of things. From there, then, we need to get those 100 people that were on our list that came to council or whatever, we need to get them and others into town hall to have a very large focus group. Until we do that, we're still not where we need to be to pinpoint all of their wants and needs. And so that's going to be critical. From there, then, we'll go to another working group session where we'll take a look and say, okay, what are our needs? How are we going to fulfill those needs? And let's not worry about money right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, what if we had a blank check, mm-hmm. what would we do to fill those needs? So, and then we'll do the reality check. So we get the working group and say, all right, what can we do? Now, we've done a lot of research on other transit systems out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really difficult to find something that is just an off-the-shelf fit that you can get. It doesn't exist.
No, absolutely. We're going to take a break on this interview here with our good friend Terry Hickey from Port Hope, the municipality of Port Hope. We're talking transit right here on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. By the way, the lines are open at 905-372-2321 or 905-372-2391. If I see the light flashing, I'll know you want to get in on the conversation. We'll be right back after this break.
You can wish it wasn't so, but winter will soon be at your door. Now is the perfect time to ensure your home comfort system is ready. If your furnace is more than 10 years old, it may be time to consider a new one. For a limited time, receive up to $1,500 in cash rebates with the purchase of a new comfort system from Pritchard's Climate Care. Call Pritchard's Climate Care at 905-885-8216 or visit pritchard-mechanical.com. At Pritchard's, we're not just your home climate care experts, we're your neighbors.
Come out Wednesday, August 31st to Hometown Bingo for their matinee and 7 p.m. sessions, Back to School Customer Appreciation. All regular games will be increased by $50. Second Chance Jackpot, $500. All patrons will receive a $10 coupon, valid from September 1st to September 9th. We are located at 884 Division Street. Call us at 905-372-5426 or visit us online at hometownbingo.ca. Our license number is 7884. Long & McQuaid is pleased to lend their support to Northumberland 89.7 Music in Motion Concerts, Bikes, Beards, and Bandshells. They roll into Coburg on September the 1st from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Victoria Park Bandshell. Come down and join Juno Award winner Kiki Escamilla and his guests Benjamin Herman and Andy Mack. That's Bikes, Beards, and Bandshells, an experience you won't want to miss. And for all your musical instrument needs, visit Long & McQuaid at 7789 County Road 2. Give them a call at 905-373-1991.
Do you like radio broadcasting and want to learn more? Volunteer with us at Northumberland 89.7.
And welcome back to the broadcast. My guest in studio, Terry Hickey, counselor for the municipality of Port Hope. We're talking about transit, and Rob Washburn, of course. Now, during the break, I mentioned to him, because one of the things I always complain about when it comes to public transit is the people who make the decisions, the guys who, you know, who count the numbers and track ridership. They generally have no idea how the system works because they don't ride the system. They don't actually use the system. But you have used the system.
I have used the system, yeah. We're a one-car family, so if my wife is away with the car and I have to be downtown, the bus is available. Depending upon the weather, it's frankly faster to walk downtown. But you know, I'll use it just because I wanted to see how the system is working and how many people are on the bus at any one given time.
Because
mm-hmm. one of the first things that kind of triggered this too is you had a number of people said, you know, I never see anybody on the bus.
Yeah, we hear that in Coburg as well. There's only ever five people on the bus, and that's including the driver.
Yeah, I know.
But that's again, you guys have rush hours just like we do. I mean, the early morning buses in Coburg, I know people going to and from some of the factory jobs that we have here in town. Those people ride the bus.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, but they're not big numbers, and that's what's killing us. I mean, we've got a bunch of hurdles that we have to jump, and that's the issue all the time is these hurdles. Actually, it's funny. I was just thinking about that today, so I made up a little hurdle sign for myself today in terms of what we have to go through to.
So let's talk about those hurdles, because I think that's really where we start to get down to the nub of what we're trying to do. So what's your first hurdle?
Okay, the first hurdle is the hourly cost of running a bus. We outsource, as does Coburg, our bus service. And right now, I think we're in the $42 an hour range in terms of per bus what we pay on that.
So for a total, though, that's about $1.6 million in the budget for transit, right?
No, it's not that much.
Not that much?
No. Okay. I've got the figures overall. I mean, it's probably somewhere, if you take both systems, because it's the regular system and the specialized system, which we call rolls over there, And you're probably looking somewhere in the neighborhood of about $750,000 altogether.
$750,000?
Yeah, in that range.
That's the annual budget?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, well, I was talking about, I took it from a report, I apologize. It was what it's going to cost between 2015 and 2019 is $1.6 million.
Yeah.
I apologize. $750,000.
Okay. Yeah, correct. Maybe less. I mean, I'm just, yeah. I have gone over so many figures today, I'm becoming a little blind.
But $40 an hour or $750,000 annually? In terms of cost, how is the cost benefit ratio then for that type of an expense? Is it
well? One of the things they do in these books, I've got the book I've got in front of me right now is Ontario Urban Transit Fact Book, and this is for 2014.
And who puts that up?
Ontario government.
Okay.
The Ministry of Transportation, and I'm hoping to get the 2015 book fairly soon. There's some interesting figures. I mean, they go through and they give you know what your demographic is, how much the cost of a bus ride is. And one of the things they talk about is cost efficiency. And this is total direct operating expenses, regular service pass, blah, 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 blah. And it winds up being kind of an interesting, ours is $64.94 is the number they've got. And I was looking at Coburg's, and Coburg's is probably within a few dollars of that. Very close. Toronto Transit System is $148.
Whoa.
You know, it's a little bit more expensive. But it is, when you take a look at all the numbers, like your total direct operating expenses for 2014 was $469,000. That's for our regular transit system. The rolls was about another $120,000 on top of that. So I'm off of my 750, so sorry, Rob. But, and, you know, this year it's going to be probably more than that. But, you know, when you get bids on services from an external service provider, I mean, right now we're at 42, but we had bids that were going up to $70 an hour. So there's a big difference. I mean, you take that's per hour per bus.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got to add fuel on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when I guess we've been lucky for the last year where the fuel prices haven't mm-hmm. been like they were a couple of years ago. When they start to going up, though, that's a big difference again.
Is that good value for the dollar? I mean, considering how many people you're using, the time, the waiting times. We talked a bit about the waiting times. Is that a good use of taxpayer dollars?
It's a hard question to answer because I feel like answering it politically, which is like, okay, fine. But the bottom line is would be no, it's not. Because if you take a look at the number of riders on the bus on a regular basis, you take a look at the total net cost that municipality pays,
yeah.
you're looking at somewhere at least $10,000 a year per rider, net cost, probably more like $15,000. I mean, we could almost buy everybody a car. I know that sounds ludicrous, but when you take a look at the numbers, mm-hmm. that's the way it nets out because – you know, last year I think we looked at a net cost to the taxpayer of about $250,000 for the regular system mm-hmm. after all of the provincial gas taxes and all that stuff, mm-hmm. after revenue, after everything. So if you're talking about a small cadre of riders, it's very expensive on a per-rider situation. So that's why we wanted to take a look at who's riding,
mm-hmm.
why they're riding, and to where they're riding.
One well, is that's how you came up with the term, though, is social transit system,
yeah.
right? I mean, it's being provided at the public expense for the public, mm-hmm. for those people who otherwise wouldn't have any other way of getting around.
Yeah.
So it's being provided as I guess when you say social transit, people start to think of social services and start to think of that way. But, I mean, it really is a communal transportation system. The best part about it, though, is that anybody can use it. How do you get more people to use it?
Well, you know, there was a transit study done, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And they said, oh, well, we can grow the transit system. We can bring more riders on it. That just never happened. You know, and I think it's like going back to what I said earlier. Now, we moved to Port Hope 10 years ago. And, you know, we use a car to go most everywhere. And most people do. I mean, in the areas that we moved into, in fact, there's a lot of people who have two-car families.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon in Port Hope. Mm-hmm. A lot of retirees. And so, by and large, most people drive. Mm-hmm. And so you really, really have a very small number of people who depend, and I use the word carefully, who depend on the transit system.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have a caller on the line, and we're going to bring him on right now. Welcome to the show.
Good day. How are you?
We're good. How's yourself today?
Oh, so far so good.
So it's Ed calling from Port.
Hi, Ed.
Hey, Terry.
So this is why I love small town radio, because you know generally you know who's calling in.
I knew it was that as soon as I heard his voice.
Oh, for crying out loud! Okay, all right. Well, the only comment I want to make is probably one you're familiar with. You've probably heard it already, and I've made it many, many times. Is that a transit system, not necessarily meant to make money, but it's like the library, it's like the park system, it's like the Jack Burger complex, it's like everything else. It's a service that's provided to the people of the town just to make it a community. You know, like we got, you have to provide things like you get all the people that say, well, I got no kids in school, I don't want to pay school tax, or mm-hmm. I don't go to the library, so I don't want to support the library. As a community, we have to support all the people. Now, a lot of the people that use the bus need it because they don't have transportation, and you look at hours and whatnot, it would be so difficult to coordinate things like, you know, like it gets down to the point where you got stores and shopping, but you've also got people that have to go to, say, court or work, or they have to go to a specific place for a meeting for their, social services or whatever it is that they need to do. It's going to be very, very difficult if you start cutting back hours to coordinate all these things so that everybody can get where they need to go, or at least those that actually need the service.
So you would agree with the statement then that the transit system in Port Hope is more of a social transit system. It's provided just like we provide, as you said, public libraries and things like that. It's there for the public, and if they want to use it, they can use it. If not, then they don't.
I think it's a very important thing to make it a community. You know, like people got to get around. You've got seniors, kids, all this kind of stuff that has to get around. Port Hope is a really good walking area. Like, you know, you can pretty much walk to most places within a reasonable length of time. But there's getting more and more people out on, Lakeshore Road and different places like that. You got retirees from Toronto that maybe do have a car, but a lot of the parking spaces aren't good in those condominium projects. So you've got people that are getting rid of cars for insurance reasons and all this mm-hmm. other kind of stuff.
So lots of reasons why we should be funding a public transit system is what you're saying.
Well, the question I then ask of council and everybody else, and the thing that I ask for of all these people that are saying that we got to get rid of the transit system because it's costing us money, is do you actually think the taxes are going to go down if they cancel the bus?
Yeah, Ed, I'm going to break in and yep. answer a couple of things right now, because one of the things, you and I are in absolute agreement right now in terms of the necessity for the system. So we're not disputing that.
Yep.
What we're trying to find out, though, is the difference between need and convenience. Right now we have a system, and I use the word convenient very carefully, given the fact it takes an hour to get anywhere. But, you know, if you've got a bus that runs around every hour and you know that you can hop onto that bus any point in the day, that's a matter of convenience. But in a lot of cases, the people that go on that bus, as you just said, are doing it because of need. They have to go to work. They have to go to a doctor. They have to go to get groceries. It's a need basis. So what we're trying to take a look at is what's that difference between convenience and need? Can we make that system more efficient so that it, A, suits the needs of the people who are using it, but also actually is efficient, streamlined, and isn't costing money it shouldn't? Because, I mean, if the community is going to step up to the bar and say, we're going to take care of the people in our community, which it should, by the same token, I think it's council responsibility to make sure that money is spent efficiently and the system works as well as it can.
Well, are they looking at a situation where transit or transportation in the town necessarily means a bus?
We're looking at everything, Ed.
Your on-demand thing. Mm-hmm. Can you get a little bit more information? Like mm-hmm. to me, transit means somebody's got to get somewhere.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If they get there in a taxi or if they get there on the bus, as long as we're helping them out.
Short of a rickshaw, we're looking at everything, Ed.
Yeah.
Short of, well, rickshaws would be hell on the hills.
Well, come on, man. Appreciate Port Hope. You can't do them.
I appreciate your input, Ed. Thanks very much.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So I'm really fascinated by this idea of efficiency and meeting the need versus the convenience. Mm-hmm. How does one negotiate that? Because it would seem to me that's a really gray area and is not easy to quantify. So that you can just say, well, here's the formula, and if we do X, this is how we're going to get that result.
There is nothing. Now, as I said, there is no off-the-shelf solution. You know, we are looking at a whole lot of varieties. There are communities that have gone to advanced taxi-type services, not taxi per se, but they've done chits with taxi companies. So there's been a kind of a hybrid version there. The Dial-A-Ride program is something that we're seriously taking a look at so that you don't have buses wandering all over the place with nobody in them. So, but when you talk Dial-A-Ride, though, you do one very important thing. You start to put some of the responsibility on the rider. Because that means that someone who's going to take a bus has to make this 24 hours in advance.
Yeah.
So that really now revolves around need. I know that I need to get somewhere by 3 o'clock tomorrow. So I need to be picked up at 2 or 1:30 or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can then phone up. I can make that and have a high level of confidence that I'm going to get picked up in time and I'm going to get to my appointment in time.
And a lot of people actually do use, Community Care Northumberland does that for a lot of people already, mm-hmm. right? They're providing services for people who need to get doctors.
And we do that with our roll service
right
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's a really different type of system than what we're using now, which is a bus just kind of rotating around and around and around and around. You know, so.
But do you think taxpayers, though, are prepared to allow it to run a deficit and to keep sustaining a deficit and sort of subsidize it? Or does it have to be a system that is dollar for dollar user pay?
You'll never get a non-subsidized system. That's virtually impossible. And I can say that with clarity.
So then what's the threshold then for where you draw the line? I mean, you could... You know, run a million-dollar deficit and have a Cadillac service, a bus is running around, we could get anywhere in 10 minutes, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, how do you differentiate between both those extremes?
Which is what we're trying to find out now in terms of the need and convenience factor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the other thing, too, is when we come up to what we think is the solution or as close as we can get to it, then we have to get the community involved and say, look, this is what we're proposing. Now, it's not carved in concrete right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're thinking about. We need to get buy-in, and we need to be buy-in of two groups. First group is the people who use the bus system and say, you know what, I can live with this.
Mm-hmm.
The second group is the taxpayer in general who says, I can live with this too in terms of I'm willing to support that in my taxes. But you're right, they're not going to want to pay $1 million for a transit system. You know, we could put in six buses, and they could be coming or tootling around every half an hour. They could still be empty every half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's when people look at it and rightfully get upset.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, not only are you wasting dollars, but from an environmental viewpoint, you got all that, gas being used, and it's not a sound environment. I've even been looking at hybrid solutions, all electric vehicles. But again, going back to the hurdle is this. I mean, there's just so many things. The first cost I talked about was the hourly cost.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the cost of the vehicles. These are not cheap vehicles. And, you know, we've only had our buses now for 2 years, and we really need to get more. I mean, I thought they were supposed to be good for 5. That's not going to happen.
Wow.
So is not part of your contract, though, with your service provider to maintain the buses, or is that a cost that falls to the municipality?
In the end, it always falls to the municipality. I mean, it's in a contract, and you pay for that. But the problem is, like with our buses, we have certain problems just keep on happening and happening and happening. You can't keep them in the shop. I mean, it's just not practical to do.
No,
that.
I know. We've had the same problem here in Coburg, too.
Yeah.
Right? Every now and then we see the short bus driving around, and that's because the long bus isn't working. So,
well, then the next thing we've got is we've got the AODA, the Association of Disabilities. I mean, we've got to make sure that those buses are always
accessible.
So that's a financial restriction there. That's extremely important. Then we've got provincial regulations come into place, like AODA. But, for example, this January, all the buses are supposed to then have audible call-out systems in terms of stops.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're looking at $20,000, $30,000 a bus to put these things on a bus.
The driver can't yell it out.
Blower. That's kind of my thought, yeah.
You know, I've used transit my whole life. That's what happened.
I mean, I can see it in the big cities and stuff, but, you know, when you're a small municipality such as ours, you know, do you want to yell, you have to yell out Mill Street, you know, Walton? I mean, come on, please, give me a break. But, again, it's a provincial regulation, something to which we have to adhere. Then going back with the next hurdle is we got fuel and repair. We don't know where fuel is going. If we start to get another increase, you know, that's jumping up. Mm-hmm. So we've got all that stuff to worry about. And then the last kind of kicker is the low ridership. You're not pulling in enough revenue to offset where you're going. I mean, if we take a look at what I call our roll system, that's about $110,000 a year plus fuel to run that system. We get less than $5,000 in revenue from the ridership.
Annually?
Yeah.
So every year.
That's a lot of money.
So you're running a deficit of almost 100%.
But to answer your question, it will always be a loss. But the question is, I think it's up to any smart council to say there's a threshold. And it is a gray area. And that gray area is going to shift and it's going to be redefined. It could be redefined every 4 years. Mm-hmm. Or every 4 minutes.
So it really depends on how much you're willing to lose, obviously. And again, it's the same with public transit anywhere in the country. I mean, public transit is, by definition, a service provided to the public.
Correct.
It's not a profit-driven service. It never has been. I mean, I guess it was when it was private back in the day, but we've never had that here. So I guess really it comes down to what our taxpayers willing to pay for. And it's the same argument that seniors put forth when they say they don't want to pay their school taxes. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to look at some of the possible breakdown of four proposals for Port Hope's transit system, including the possibility of just not having a transit system at all, which, as Mr. Hickey says, we got to at least look at that. It's got to be one of the options. We'll be right back.
Sunday morning brunch promo, take one. Cue the music. What? No music? Cutbacks? Oh, well. Hey, it's me, Glenn McLaren, with a great show, 7 to 10 Sunday mornings, called the Sunday Morning Brunch. Maybe you've heard about it. It's got lots of great music, great features, and a mini concert, too. So why not spend part of your weekend with me, Glenn McLaren, on the Sunday Morning Brunch, heard on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
The power is out and the elevator in your building isn't working. Will you be able to get outside? Your neighborhood was evacuated and your medicine is still at home. Will you be okay without it? Emergencies affect everyone in the community, but for individuals with additional preparedness or mobility needs, the impacts of these emergencies can be much greater. Be prepared, not scared. Everyone can take steps toward being better prepared for emergencies. Check your municipality's website for information on personal preparedness. Additional tips such as creating checklists for service animals, developing support networks, or subscribing to a medical alert program can be found on the Public Safety Canada website. Remember, your preparedness helps us all. Brought to you by the Community Emergency Managers of Northumberland County.
As always, Cameco is pleased to be supporting local initiatives and talent in our community. As such, Cameco is pleased to support Northumberland 89.7 FM Music in Motion Concert on September 1st at the Victoria Park Bandshell in downtown Cobourg from 7 p.m. to 9. Bicycle-powered music, bikes, beards, and bandshells. Come out and enjoy a great evening of fun and music with special guest 2015 Juno Award winner Kiki Escamilla. Come on down and pedal your way to a better you.
Do you like radio broadcasting and want to learn more? Volunteer with us at Northumberland 89.7.
And welcome back to the broadcast. My guest in studio is Councillor Terry Hickey for the Municipality of Port Hope and Rob Washburn. We have had callers already, so if you'd like to give us a call and ask a question, 905-372-2321 or 905-372-2391. If I see the light flashing, I'll know you're calling in. Here is a breakdown of the four proposals for Port Hope's transit system. Number one, they maintain the service 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, along with fixed 60-minute routes in two concentric circles, beginning at Town Hall. So that would be the transit hub, as it were. Number two, create an on-demand system, same hours, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 on Saturdays, where riders call a dispatch service and schedule a pickup and drop off with potential for shuttle services to Cobourg. The third option, eliminate the service altogether. The municipality would see a return of $1.4 million in operating budgets if the contract until 2019 was terminated. So that would be the balance of the contract. And number four, increase fares. Current fares are $2 for adults, $1.50 for seniors and students. The current increase proposal is $2.25 for adults and $1.75 for seniors and students. One of the things I noticed immediately was that there's no Sunday service. Is that the way it is right now? There is no Sunday service?
No Sunday service, right. And that's very common with a lot of municipalities, the smaller municipalities. Sundays doesn't exist as a service.
Huh. You'd think it would be a big day, though, with people going to and from services.
Go and talk to the churches and see how many people are going to and from services.
Well, what about these? Now, those were the options that were put out in the original staff report.
Mm-hmm.
How, at this point, where do those four proposals sit? Are they in front of you still, or are we throwing this all out the window and we've started over? Where are you with those four in terms of priority?
I don't throw anything out the window because you never know what you're going to need.
Sure.
fundamentally, there's a couple things I think we did learn. My personal opinion at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think what we want to look at is, right now we have an A bus, B bus. B bus comes to Coburg, all right, once an mm-hmm. hour. I think what we really need to consider is one bus that goes only Port Hope, Coburg, back and forth, period.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that warrants it in terms of the people from Port Hope who need to come here, whether it's to the hospital, to the mall, to wherever.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems like a pretty realistic thing. And if we could have a service that's every 30 minutes rather than once an hour, I think that makes much more sense to have.
Mm-hmm.
Then we need to take a look at what we're going to do in the actual urban Port Hope in terms of, I think, keeping two buses there running their same routes. As I see it now, I don't think that's very wise. I think we have to redefine the routes. And we could say, for example, we'll do one new route. So we'll take a look at where we're actually picking people up. And believe me, there's a lot of streets we pick nobody up. I have no mm-hmm. idea why they're on the bus. You'll never get anybody.
Mm-hmm.
and so we'll take a look at that. Or we'll look at the Dial-A-Ride program.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, this is definite. This is incredibly defined. We know who we're picking up. We know when we're picking them up. And we know where we're taking them. So it's very purposeful. We should never be driving around empty. By definition.
Interesting that the Dial-A-Ride program almost sounds like a municipal taxi service. In the sense that you know you're going to be going out and picking up one or two people, or how does it work that it's not just that you're running a municipal taxi?
Think of it more of a shuttle service than that. Think of when, for example, you go to an airport, you come out, and there's a shuttle bus going into the city. You land at LaGuardia, and you're going into, and there's a shuttle bus there, and it's going to drop people off at six hotels. So you all pile in, and you say, okay, what are the hotels you're going to? And the driver says, well, this is the closest, and that's the furthest away, and it's going to take you 20 minutes to get there, and it's going to take the last guy 40 minutes to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it in that context. That's really how it's going to work.
So there would be centralized places I would call up, and then I would have to get myself to a central place. It would pick a group of us up and then drop us off where we need to go.
You'd still go to the bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the idea from what I've been reading is they usually give you something like a 15-minute window. Let's say I'm going to pick you up at 9:15.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be prepared to be there at 9:15, knowing that you may not be picked up until 9:30, depending on how things go.
Mm-hmm.
That's some of the things, mm-hmm. the way I've seen them work.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends. But that's kind of the operational issue. So we're not coming to somebody's home. We're going to be going to a bus stop where people are normally mm-hmm. doing it. But we have to take a look at where these stops are. I mean, that's the big difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's mm-hmm. and again, if you can reduce the amount of time it gets from point A to point B by eliminating certain streets, as you say, that mm-hmm. virtually have no one ever get on the bus, well, that's just logical, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, logic's a difficult thing.
Well, and again, we were talking about public infrastructure. Logic probably doesn't come into play too often anyway.
Not often.
Are there going to be any efforts to try and market the system and increase ridership in the interim before you make any final decisions? I mean, there's a lot of steps. You just talked about one, eliminating stops that nobody's getting on at. That would speed up the service, no doubt, because the bus doesn't have to stop as often. You know, what about marketing efforts? What about other interim steps that might happen before you get into the final overhaul of the system?
Well, we're gonna actually take our last break of the hour. When we come back, we'll get Terry to answer that question. You're listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. We will be right back.
How do you describe contemporary folk? Acoustic? Yes. Roots? Sure. Americana? That's a newer buzz term, but yep. Celtic? There's a bit of that. Bluegrass? We'll throw some of that in also. On Sunday Coffee House, we'll mix it all together to come up with a show that's pretty diverse, with music from the heart, from the soul, from the earth, and sometimes from over there. You can learn more at sundaycoffeehouse.com. Better still, listen. I'm Greg Schatzman. Join me every Sunday at noon for Sunday Coffee House on Northumberland 89.7.
Well, that washer quit again.
Well, I don't know what to do with it.
Well, I do. If you need in-home service, new or used parts, previously loved appliances, advice, or stimulating conversation, come on down to Ed White Appliance Service, 51 Mill Street South, or call us at 905-885-7109, where we love to say, yes, it is worth fixing.
Hi, I'm Lou Rinaldi, MPP for Northumberland Quinney West. Always know that you're important to me, and I want to be accessible to each and every one of you. Please feel free to contact me toll-free at 1-800-263-3980. I look forward to hearing from you.
We're the radio station that's all about Northumberland. Listen every day for local news, interviews with local newsmakers, music by local artists, and so much more. We are Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
And welcome back to the last segment of our hour here with Councillor Hickey. The hour flew by, didn't it?
It did.
Just, it's the fastest hour on radio, listeners. So the question was before the break about public engagement, I guess.
No, advertising, promotion.
I was looking to talk a bit about
what's going to happen in the interim while these the final solutions coming up. Are there going to be interim steps like trying to market and increase ridership, eliminating bus stops, and other small measures until you find the final solution and then implement it?
More than likely not, to be quite candid with you. And the reason is, I mean, we have looked years ago to how to promote ridership and do all the marketing and spend all the effort and money on that. And I think we've really kind of found out where we are with ridership. And, and I honestly don't think we're going to increase it. What we really have to do is, until we get that, as you say, that final solution, or at least a workable solution, and that could be 2 months from now. It could be, honestly, it could be 6 or 7 months from now. I don't know when the end of this timetable is at. But fundamentally, we'll continue to run the system as we have until we're fairly confident that what we're going to propose is something that has a likelihood of working. But we have a lot of other little dominoes in play here. That's the other thing. We've got buses that are tired that need to be replaced. We've got that audible system that's got to come into January. And we have another, a few other things that are kind of coming in line. And it's kind of like, do you play chess?
Yeah.
Okay. I play chess. I'm terrible. Have you heard of three-dimensional chess?
They play it in Star Trek.
Yes, I know. But
that's
probably where I know it from, too. Trying to figure this bus thing out is like playing three-dimensional chess. Too many pieces at too many levels, and trying to figure it out so that everybody's going to be happy with it is a major dilemma.
Well, one of the things that you said earlier that really surprised me was, you used to have some pretty ambitious public engagement goals in terms of getting all kinds of people involved in the decision-making process, which sounds wonderful, but getting to hammer out a final solution with so many variables and trying to build that consensus, how are you going to overcome that challenge?
Gosh, that's a good question. Sure determination, if nothing else, I guess.
I
mean, it's you do what you can do. I mean, I know that sounds trite and lame, but, you go out and the hardest thing to do is to get information to people. Now, in a media age that we have right now, I swear to you that getting information to people is much tougher than it used to be. Because people are getting wrong information. They're misunderstanding what the information is. There's just, it's very difficult. And the reason, for instance, Dave, when you were first talking about the newspaper article, I specifically asked the newspapers to do articles on this because I wanted to get the community to understand that this is under review. Because if they don't see it somewhere, they don't see it, period. 85% of what members of council do goes completely unknown to the general public.
And again, that's not because you guys are trying to operate in secret. It's because nobody's really making a news story about
it. Right. And so these articles, I specifically asked these reporters and these newspapers to do something about it, mm-hmm. just simply to get the word out to people, mm-hmm. so that people knew we were doing something about it, and there was a methodology for them to approach us and give us some more information.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, we're completely screwed. I mean, we can't do anything. We're handcuffed.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because one of the lead stories this afternoon I talked about was this idea of electoral reform in Canada,
mm-hmm.
and only about 6% of Canadians are actually aware of the fact that there's a consultation process happening. You know, even as you say, I mean, they had the process meeting at Jack Berger a week mm-hmm. or so ago. We didn't hear about it until the day after. There really wasn't any news stories about it coming up or any of these events. And that really is part of the problem, right? It's sort of the media trying, and I hate to blame the media, but, you know, if it doesn't bleed, it doesn't lead, though. That tends to be the story, right?
Well, yeah.
So the reality is, if it's not a sexy issue, odds are it's not going to end up in print. And this is why a lot of people are either ill-informed, misinformed, or not informed at all.
But the other biggest thing, too, is that we live in a world of noise.
Yes.
Okay, and news is noise too often, and we ignore it. We don't listen as we used to listen. You know, goes over the head.
Yeah. Well, but this consultation with you talked about 100 people on that petition coming together and trying to talk about mm-hmm. about this. I mean, that sort of approach. How do you hope to get a clear message out of that many people? I mean, we've all attended public meetings, mm-hmm. and you've participated many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get the clear messages through so that you do end up meeting that need, which is going to inspire the system to be healthy?
Well, I go back to the perseverance, because I'll tell you, the toughest single thing to do is to get meaningful engagement with people. We've done it on so many occasions, we found 6 people will show up, 7 mm-hmm. people will show up.
Mm-hmm.
So fundamentally, we're going to get on the buses. We're going to talk to people. We're going to have people persuade. We're going to let people know when this is going to be on the bus, have forms so they can come to this mm-hmm. thing. They know when it is. I'll even make sure that we have buses on for the evening to get them home.
Is there going to be a page on the website, the Port Hope website, to let
people
know?
There'll be everything I can think of.
So there you go, listeners. Be engaged, be aware, and be informed. That's part of our role as members of a democracy, listeners. And again, if you're not hearing about it, ask the questions. You know, one of the things I learned in fourth grade was when you hear a news story, try and figure out what they're not telling you. That's often more difficult. Thanks, Terry Hickey, counselor for the municipality of Port Hope. We've been talking about transit, Rob Washburn as well. And I believe next week we've got an interesting guest as well, the new school board trustee. Is that next week?
I'm hoping. We've just got to nail that down. It looks very exciting. Yep.
So we're all looking forward to that. Thank you very much for tuning in. Coming up, of course, is the Cedar Rail Show. But before that, here is the Guess Who and Bus Rider on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7.
Places to go, important people to meet. Better not get up or you might lose your seat. Bus Rider. Leave the house at 6 o'clock to be on time. Wife and kids at home to make a dime. Grab your lunch pail, check for mail in your slot. You won't get your check if you don't punch the clock. Bus rider. Yourself a toupee 'cause you're losing your hair.
I'm so awful goddamn glad I'm not in your shoes. Bus ride.